You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you on a day, just, you know, another day here in the offseason of Major League Baseball as we trek on with the month of November, a day in which Phillies right fielder Bryce Harper wins the Hank Aaron Award. I'll get to that a little bit later on in the program as we continue on here into the offseason of Major League Baseball and more awards gets rolled out. Of course, earlier this week, Bryce Harper gets named a finalist for the National League MVP voting. Him, Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, it will be the National League MVP will be one of those three. Zach Wheeler, of course, in the mix for the Cy Young. Him, Corbin Burnes from the Brewers, and of course, Max Scherzer now with the Dodgers. So lots of exciting things going on here in the offseason, as well as, you know, kind of what the future of Major League Baseball is. The month of November here, as of right now, looks like it's going to be the last month until we have a labor stoppage here in Major League Baseball between the owners and its Players Association. Barring kind of some unforeseen circumstances at this point, I would say that it looks like this CBA is going to expire, and until they come to a new one, of course, Major League Baseball is effectively put on hold. That expires on December 1st, so something to keep an eye out here in the next 20 days or so. But we're going to begin today with some comments that Dave Dombrowski, Phillies president Dave Dombrowski, made here at the general manager meetings as, again, baseball flips the page to the 2022 season if they can get a CBA in line, in an article from Jim Salisbury. And, you know, I'll dig kind of into the details of this article and the details that were released late Tuesday as the podcast episode here kind of goes along. But my overall takeaway from this, first of all, he kind of laid out the needs for the team. And these were needs that we heard him lay out back, about a month ago when he addressed the media at Citizens Bank Park. Of course, the infamous now press conference where he didn't appear to know the contract situation of Joe Girardi. He knew he had another year, but had not explored that option as of yet. And he kind of addressed the other needs on the team. You know, they need a center fielder, a left fielder, especially a closer, back end of the bullpen help. And again, I'll get into his specific comments about how it is the biggest need on this Phillies team that they need a closer right now. He said, we need somebody to play left field, we need somebody to play center field. And as the article states, he then paused, pondered for a moment, and he said, if I had to say one thing, I'd probably say that I'd like somebody that can close a game for us and count on it. He added. Now, of course, we all know how the struggles of the Phillies bullpen have really affected this team over the past couple of years. 34 blown saves in 2021, of course, not all in the ninth inning, but saves that were blown sometimes multiple in the same game. You go back to 2020 where the bullpen was historically bad, worst bullpen ERA in 90 years. And besides, you know, laying out what I believe the biggest needs for this team at the moment are, something occurred to me as I was reading this article, reading, you know, through the Twitter timeline, all the Phillies news that has gone on this offseason, and kind of thinking about this offseason as a whole. And it's that this is the most excited I think I've been for a, not just a baseball offseason, but more specifically a Phillies offseason in quite some time. Certainly when they were trying to land Bryce Harper, that was its own thing, right? Like, the whole goal of that offseason was basically to get Bryce Harper. Of course, they make the deal for Real Muto, which we now know was, quite honestly, a huge factor in getting Bryce Harper to Philadelphia. He wanted to play with Real Muto. Their friendship has been pretty well documented. And that was instrumental. Getting JT here put the Phillies in position to get a guy like Bryce here. And the entire offseason was lined up to try and land Bryce Harper. It was either going to be him or Machado. And we all spent all that entire offseason, that entire winter, even into the spring, waiting that situation out. And then finally, on February 28th, more than 100 days later into his free agency, the two sides, basically not even Matt Klintak, but John Middleton, the owner, flies out to Vegas. The story's well documented at this point. He strikes a deal with Scott Boras. And now, 3 years later, again, Bryce Harper, the National League Hank Aaron Award winner, and looks like in about a week going to be solidified as the National League MVP. So in the early returns, especially in the year 2021, holding up his end of the bargain. But in terms of what this next coming offseason means, here's why I'm even more excited this time around. Because they have Bryce Harper. They now have the pieces in place moving forward. They finally had a winning season, which is nothing to celebrate. It was incredibly disappointing the way this and most Philly seasons over the past decade have ended. Some of those years, you knew they were going to be bad, but now since they flipped the page and attempted to win, and really attempted to win, by getting Real Muto on the roster, by getting Bryce Harper at a $13 million clip, you're saying publicly and pretty simply, we are trying to win now. Our goal as an organization is to try and win, and try and win right now. And let's just get into the postseason. And the reason I'm excited is because Dave Dombrowski, who is an established winner and has won in previous places, whether it's Detroit, getting teams to the World Series in Boston, winning with the Boston Red Sox, and a guy who is established as the type of general manager, or in this case for the Phillies, the type of president of baseball operations who you bring in to close the deal, to get your team over the hump, to make the win-now moves that your organization needs to get to that next level. And in less than a year, you remember he was hired last year after, the infamous comment of, well, who would want to uproot during a pandemic? Well, I guess the answer was Dave Dombrowski, right? Dave Dombrowski, who originally looked like he was going to be the head of the idea of expanding to Nashville. Like, he was going to move to Nashville. He was going to try and pool owners' money together, and they were going to get this startup off the ground. And Dave Dombrowski was going to be the leader spearheading the project that brought a Major League Baseball team to Nashville. Well, the pandemic put a halt to that. And so I suppose his backup plan was, all right, I'm going to go be the president of another Major League Baseball team. And in that short period of time, yes, there have been some struggles. Yes, it is fair to criticize what he did, or rather didn't do, at this year's trade deadline when you look at a team like Atlanta, who was further back than the Phillies and went on to win the World Series. Or you could say, well, how much is he at blame for, piecing together a rotation that was pretty subpar between Chase Anderson and Matt Moore and thinking that would work? And those are all fair criticisms and criticisms that I have had. But this is the first time we are going to see Dave Dombrowski. And by the way, this was referenced in the article, plain and simple, in text for everybody to see, that, Jim Salisbury said it, Dave Dombrowski said it himself, that this is the first time he's going to have a full offseason as the leader of the Phillies front office. And before he even had a full offseason as the leader of the Phillies front office, he has now since made a change to Preston Mattingly to head this team's, development system. He is slowly pushing out the old ways and putting in the new ways, because this guy knows what it takes to win. And I'm not telling you he's going to have a good offseason. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done when it comes to fixing this baseball team, or really just establishing this baseball team as a competitor or a contender in a division like the National League East that I thought they had the best chance to win in years, in the year 2021. In a down year for the division where the Mets deal with their struggles, they kind of fall off down the stretch of the season. And you look at the Atlanta Braves, and for four months, they were 500 midway through the season, and it didn't really seem like this was the Braves' year. Then they lose Acuna. Seemed very unrealistic at the time. For anyone who placed a bet on the Braves to win the World Series at that point, you probably cashed out quite nicely. And you're looking at the Phillies and saying, well, they're right back where they are every single year, right around the 500 mark. And this team can't get over the hump. And if they had lost a guy like Bryce Harper the same way the Braves lost Ronald Acuna Jr., they'd have no shot. The only chance that they were in the position they were in is because of how good a player like Bryce Harper was. And the fact that they had a top three, at least a top three Cy Young finisher in Zach Wheeler, and they still only won 82 games, speaks to all of those needs that Dave Dombrowski listed. They still need a center fielder. They still need a left fielder. Somewhere in there, they're going to need a leadoff hitter. They're going to need a shortstop. And I got news for you, Ronald Torres, who elected free agency and is right now a free agent. They could still bring him back on like a minor league deal or a non-roster invitee, which is, by the way, the same way he was brought in last year. But there's still openings on this infield. It seems like maybe they're trying to push Bryson Stott to be the opening day shortstop. You hope he can come up. And by the way, I have some numbers and updates for him, from him, in the Arizona Fall League that I'll get to in just a little bit. But you hope that he can come up and be better. You hope Alec Boehm returns to his 2020 form. And you figure the rest of your infield is Rhys Hoskins, Gene Segura, and still there's question marks among those guys as well, inconsistencies between those two guys. What kind of year are you going to get out of JT Realmuto? But if all of those things are in place and they can address offseason needs in a real way, if Dave Dombrowski can go out and really achieve these goals and put together a lineup that we can all get excited about by opening day 2022, if there is an opening day 2022, or I should say maybe if it's actually on time, that is, the idea of that is what's making me so excited. The idea that he is diagnosing the problem of we need to go out in the bullpen and not just get one guy, but a couple of guys, looking at teams in the postseason, seeing how they win. He knows what it takes to win in modern day baseball. And again, the first step of, fixing a problem is addressing that you even have one. And I'm not telling you he's going to do it. Only time will tell on that. I'll do plenty of shows throughout the offseason assessing the moves he did or did not make based upon the movement and based upon, frankly, how this offseason goes for Major League Baseball as it pertains to a potential labor stoppage and what free agency and the trade market even looks like. But the reason why I'm excited is because this is the first time Dave Dombrowski is going to have a full offseason to himself, doing things his way, not being thrown in the thick of things right in the middle of the offseason, trying to diagnose all of the problems, being late to the table, and then playing catch-up all season long. This upcoming season, this upcoming 2022 Phillies season, will have much more of a Dave Dombrowski stamp on it, or it better have much more of a Dave Dombrowski stamp on it than the year 2021, and that was his only year controlling the Phillies roster at all, a role that he's not even been sitting in for 365 days. So we're going to get to more of these offseason needs, his direct comments. I'll read you a couple quotes, as well as give the previously mentioned and promised Bryson Stott in Arizona Fall League. Him and Logan Ohapi have been playing out there. Got some numbers and updates from out on the West Coast coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. So really quickly, as I mentioned, I will, before I forget, be sure to provide these. So the Phillies, again, have been providing updates and certainly recommend following all of the writers as well as the team account for updates from the Arizona Fall League. Of course, these games not televised. You have to, dig a little bit harder to see what's been going on. But as of right now, Logan Ohapi, in the Arizona Fall League, again, this is via the Phillies team account, .455 on base percentage, .310 average. He's driven in 14 runs, and that's the most by a Fall League catcher. And also, his 17 walks ranks second in the Fall League to Bryson Stott, who has 19. Again, those two guys playing out in the Arizona Fall League would have liked to have seen Alec Boehm and Mickey Moniak make the trip out there. Again, there were some rumors, not confirmed, have no inside information on this at all, that you did have to be vaccinated to play in that league, and those are guys who missed time due to COVID protocol. Certainly, a potential, but those are quite within the realm of possibility of why they're not playing out there, but those two guys playing out there, and again, always love to see the development of young up-and-coming players. And again, Bryson Stott might not even be young and upcoming so much anymore. There's a really, really good chance that we see him at the major league level in the year 2022. I certainly would rather play him than a guy like Didi Gregorius, who I think is proven is not an everyday shortstop, certainly for a team that's attempting to be competitive. And depending on how this upcoming offseason goes, and I don't necessarily expect that the Phillies will land one of the, you know, big-time shortstop free agents, whether it's Correa, Seager, Story, whatever the case might be, Javier Baez. But assuming they don't get one of those guys and, you know, they don't open up the checkbook for, you know, another big time signing to go along with a guy like Bryce Harper, it does seem like the bulk, if I had to bet right now, who will be the shortstop more often than not, barring injury in the year 2022, you'd probably say it was Bryson Stott. So nice to see that things are going well out there. I also want to thank you, before I forget, for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. Reminder, we are free and we are available on all platforms. So I wanted to get into the specifics of some of Dombrowski's comments here before I end my first episode here today. Again, in episode two, we'll get more into Bryce Harper winning the Hank Aaron Award and kind of what is upcoming more in, you know, as we outline the rest of the month of November and what December looks like, depending if the CBA gets agreed to or not, and are we headed for a free agency case. You know, you heard Scott Lauber mention it if you listen to my episode with him a couple of weeks back, I guess it was now, that are we headed to a situation where baseball free agency is kind of like a lot of, like NBA free agency or NFL free agency, where all happens at once. Will they miss games? Will they not miss games? Certainly only time will tell about that. So some specific quotes from Dave Dombrowski. He said, if, again, addressing the team's biggest need, he mentioned center field, mentioned left field. And then he said, as I mentioned, if I had to say one thing, I'd probably say I'd like to have somebody that can close a game for us and count on it. He listed the closers, the number one team, as the number one issue. Again, not necessarily surprising given the bullpen struggles the Phillies have had. Some free agents to keep an eye on or potential guys the Phillies could look to add this offseason. And again, great work by Jim Salisbury from NBC Sports Philadelphia kind of putting this all together. And these guys are mentioned in the article. Definitely recommend reading this article. Was Raisel Iglesias from the Angels. He received a qualifying offer, and signing him would result in the Phillies giving up a second-round draft pick. He did also mention that he'd prefer not to give up a draft pick. And then in terms of unrestricted free agents, essentially, guys who the Phillies could potentially have interest in and just go out and try and sign. Guys like Mark Melanson, Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell, kind of established back end of the bullpen guys, have tons of experience there as well. And then there's also been rumors circulating out of Milwaukee that they might try and deal a guy like Josh Hader. And a guy like Josh Hader is probably someone who you'd say, you know, if you could pull the trigger on a trade of any kind for a guy like Josh Hader, I mean, that is huge, huge impact in the back end of your bullpen. And it should also be noted that they're doing all of this with Hector Neris right now not, you know, solidified on the roster for the year 2022. Would they try and bring back him and sign him? I know people have plenty of opinions on how good or not good a guy like Hector Neris is, but quite frankly, he turned out to be the Phillies' most reliable reliever when all was said and done, at least in my opinion, by the end of the season. Certainly has his struggles, in a ninth inning role, but as a setup guy, his numbers do not lie. Phenomenal. And I would love to see, quite frankly, Hector Neris. I can't believe I'm saying this. Almost can't believe I'm saying this, but in a way I can, because I was one of Hector Neris's, I'd say, bigger supporters throughout the course of the season. Would love to see him back in a seventh or eighth inning role. If you made a trade for a guy like Josh Hader, he is the solidified guy at the end of your bullpen you need, whether it was him, Kenley Jansen, or Craig Kimbrell, whatever the case might be. Again, this is just all of the realm of possibilities that this is what Dave Dombrowski is here to do. He's here for an offseason like this one to navigate as an experienced front office executive and take the Phillies to a step and a level they have not reached in quite some time. So I'm going to get to that in the final segment here of Locked On Phillies. But first, a word from our sponsors. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. The final thing I wanted to get to here today, kind of something I didn't recap from the other day in terms of talking about free agency as a whole and who is coming back on the team and who isn't and other things that need to be addressed. Besides the fact that Neris is a free agent, obviously, and, you know, we already talked about the fact that it does not look like Andrew McCutchen will be coming back, declined the team option, or the team option declined. The team decided to decline his option, as well as Odubel Herrera. It should also be noted that the guys who have been outright and elected free agency is J.D. Hammer and Ramon Rosso, Andrew Knapp, which I thought it should have been in terms of a backup catcher. You probably should have gone to Rafael Marchand. I think he's better than Knapp at this point anyway. Ronald Torres, Odubel Herrera, as I mentioned, he is elected free agency, and then Travis Jankowski. So I don't think there's any huge surprises there necessarily, but that's kind of just an updated look on this offseason, who could be available, who's not. I don't think there's anyone, those are the guys who are not currently on the roster. In terms of guys who are on the roster, and if you were to try and pull off a trade for someone like Josh Hader, which is who I ended the second segment talking about, probably not a lot of guys on the team who are necessarily safe from something like that. I'll get more in episode number two of my thoughts of the possibility of trading Aaron Nola. I know that has been on the block as well. Just kind of a preview of my thoughts. You know, you'd be selling Aaron Nola, I think, on the low end as of this point. I'm not sure how much sense that makes unless someone else really sees the potential in him. So those are all things to kind of keep an eye on here as, you know, the offseason pushes on. But again, my overall takeaway from today, hearing these comments and really just thinking about this offseason as a whole, it's going to be a weird offseason, yet another weird offseason. We could use some normalcy in Major League Baseball, right? Like, you go from a 60-game season in a COVID-shortened year to 162 games in a year where you're starting with, you know, limited fans and you have full fans and guys are still out due to COVID and who's vaccinated, who isn't. And now here we enter a full offseason, what's supposed to be a normal offseason, entering another 162 games. And we might not even get 162 games again because of a labor dispute. But there's really no one better I would rather have, certainly who is available, to navigate this type of offseason and to try and navigate actually taking this team to new heights through an offseason, through trades, through all of the lucrative free agents or guys who are, you know, on the block, so to speak, than a guy like Dave Dombrowski. And I think I'm more excited about this offseason as a result of it, given he has full control, given that he has the full offseason to navigate everything. He's had a year to kind of diagnose this team a little bit better. He should be caught up to speed at this point. And so that is why I'm so excited for the 2021-2022 Phillies offseason, even if it is shortened and even if it is halted due to circumstances beyond his control. So that's going to do it for today's first episode of Locked On Phillies. Again, stay tuned for more, where I discuss more of Harper winning the Hank Aaron Award, what, you know, that does for his MVP chances, in my opinion. Also, the possibility of trading a guy like Aaron Nola. We'll dig a little bit more into what this opening day lineup in 2022, whenever they might be, might actually look like. So again, thank you for listening to Locked On Phillies. Thanks for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. And I do want to remind you that your second listen every single day absolutely needs to be Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Locked On Bets, wherever you get your podcasts.